If you have your Bibles with you, I'm going to ask that you would please open up to the book of James. The book of James, chapter 4. I want us to look at one verse and answer a question. I don't know how far we'll get in this tonight. Not overly concerned about how far we get. But I want us to answer this question. What is your life? What is your life? You know, if we were to secretly ask everybody to write down their answer, not sign their name, or type it so that no one could read or be able to say, well, I know whose handwriting that is or anything, we would get a ton of different answers. And just in this small group that we have here tonight, we would get a lot of different responses to that question. And as I kind of examine myself, what is my life? And I tried to consider what life really is. You know, there's living that we do here, but that's not life. There is pleasure, but that's not life. What really is life? And I kind of get this idea from the King James version of the scripture. Asks this very first part of this verse a little differently. And it says, and the question literally in the King James is, what is your life? And then James writes in there that it's a vapor. All right? The New American Standard says it a little differently. And the New American Standard says it this way: you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. But the real question is, what is your life? And I have come up with four things. Over tonight, and maybe we can finish it up, we'll see. But I've come up with these four ideas. First of all, your life is a time to live. It's a time to learn. It's a time to labor. And it's a time to love. And if we look at these four elements, I believe that our spiritual life helps to be brought into perspective and helps us to understand a little bit deeper our reason for existence. Folks, we don't exist for pleasure. We exist for the purposes of God. And we have been blessed to be able to live. I can remember thinking when I was a child that I wish I would have been born in a different age. I was a big cowboy Indian fan, and I always thought, man, wouldn't that be great? I could have my own horse, and I would have ridden on the plains out west and been involved in these great battles that John Wayne was involved in. All of that kind of thing. And I used to think, oh man, wouldn't it have been incredible to have been born back in the days of the Old West? Of course, that was back in a time when I thought that those movies actually portrayed the way that life was back then, you know. I can remember thinking that. And then I remember getting a little older and learning to play guitar and having an amplifier. And suddenly the Old West was not quite as attractive because they didn't have amplifiers back then. They didn't have electric guitars. And I thought, boy, this is the greatest moment to be alive. I hope that never changes. Through my teen years, I thought, man, this is absolutely it. That is wonderful. And then, as I got out of my teens, I had an encounter with Jesus. And I came to the conclusion that it really didn't matter what time I was born in or what time frame. I had a privilege. And that was being able to live for Him and being able to honor Him. And so it didn't matter if I would have been born in the 1840s and lived through the heyday of the 1860s and 70s and the shoot 'em up times. It wouldn't have mattered if I would have been born in the early 1900s and saw the war to end all wars, World War I. Of course, a few years later, there comes another war that's going to finish up the job that World War I apparently didn't do. As we look at our life, our perspective begins to change. And we begin to realize that life goes by so quickly. I remember being a kid and studying in school back when we studied, and studying about in science class about Halley's Comet. And I was amazed to think they've got this figured out, when this comet's going to come. But man, that was going to be when I was 33 years old. That years and years from now. Now that's years and years ago. But I can remember thinking, oh, wow, that thing will never get here. It will never get here. And now, as I'm approaching the big 6-0, a year from now, I'll turn 60, and I'm thinking, life is like a vapor. And I'm beginning to understand what James was writing. And so in the time that the Lord allows me to remain on this earth, I have a job to do. And the four conclusions that I came up with are the ones that I gave you the outline for. And so I want us to kind of look at this. First of all, like I said, each of us, we're just given a span of time here on the earth. That's different for us. You know, some live to be real old. Some are just young people. But we never know when the Lord's going to call. But when He does, we'd just better be prepared. And so we don't know how much time we have, but we know, folks, what we are to do with the time that we have. And it's important that we pay attention to that. And so the very first thing is, what is your life? It is a time to live in Christ. It's a time to live in Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says this, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. So if we are in Christ, we are given a brand new opportunity at life. I appreciated Janet's testimony tonight in her reference to her BC days as being wretched. And how when the Lord came into her life, He brought a new perspective. And He brought a new opportunity. And in reality, folks, that's a part of what God does for us. Because He adjusts our path of thinking. And you know what? If our path of thinking has not been adjusted since we found Jesus Christ, then we haven't found Him. I'm going to be gut level honest with you. If we are involved in the same old garbage that we were involved in our BC days, we'd better get on our knees, get our heart right with the Lord, and make certain that we're going to follow Him. Because this time that we have is a time to live in Christ. Many people are living for personal gain. Many people are afflicted with the disease of want. You know, I want more money. I want a better job. I want. When in reality, what we need to want is deeper intimacy with God and a deeper plane of living in our lives so that we honor Him above everything else. And so this time we have is a time to live in Christ. Many people are living for sinful pleasures. And, you know, the Bible tells us, you know, there is pleasure in sin. And I'll never deny that. There is pleasure in sin. But the Bible also says for a season. Okay, so it's a short-lived pleasure. The long-term pleasure of life comes in a life well-lived for Jesus Christ because that pays eternal dividends. And it pays a hope and an assurance in us that says there's coming a time, like we talked about this morning, there's coming a time when we will have eternity where we'll never have to worry about sickness, we'll never have to worry about disease of any kind, we'll never have to worry about death, we'll never have to worry about the unknown, because, now get this, there'll be no unknowns. Isn't that an amazing thought? We shall know even as we are known, for we shall be like Him. That's an amazing, amazing promise. And, you know, when we stop to realize that, we think, wow, is the brief pleasures of this world worth forfeiting the joy of Jesus for eternity? Is it worth it? It's really not. And so it's important that we begin to understand that. And then we need to understand that real security and true happiness are found only in Jesus Christ. I don't know how many of you here have experienced any kind of a downturn in a 401k. Remember when you were investing in these 401ks and those types of investments, and how secure everything was and how wonderful everything was going to be, and then the bubble broke. And all of those securities went down the dumper. All right? Those things aren't secure. The things of this world are not secure. But what we have in Christ is eternal. He has everything that we will ever need. All of the wealth, all of the joy, all of the love we have in Christ. Let's not forfeit that by seeking a life that is not dedicated to Jesus Christ. Let's dedicate ourselves to following Him and to allowing Him to give us a peace that passes our understanding. That's all farther we're going to get tonight. So the very first thing is this. What is your life? It's a time to live in Christ. We have this moment. Let's not blow it. All right? Would you please stand? I'm going to ask my son, Jake, to have a closing word of prayer for our service tonight. Jake, would you please pray for us?